parks is number three. It's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's where the planning survey is.
So the county did a planning survey. Right. Dog parks was number three, above soccer. Yeah. Yes. So if it's that important, why is it being made so hard for us? And I hate to say it, but we're actually doing the county's job for them. I mean, they give us the property to use, but we put the fences up and take care of the food. We do all of the other stuff. So part of it is just people don't know that that's what our organization does. And I think a lot of people are going to jump on the bandwagon. But there's going to be tons of issues that we're going to have to deal with, and they'll always be there, and I can deal with those. I can see that.
And there should be lots of money available, you know, within the community for something that they want this much. As far as the permit fees and whatnot, I know that the county charges itself for permit fees for anything that they do. So there's no just automatic carte blanche on getting rid of permit fees. They might be able to reduce them, but they do in man hours that it takes to meet federal standards and state standards and county standards. I understand it. It's got to be
permitting,
very frustrating.
Permitting back in 2009 when we built our facility was close to $200,000.
But here's my issue, though, and this is what I would like to talk to them about. You have some of these issues are for land that something will be built on. This land has been deemed unbuildable, and yet why is that permit still required? Mm-hmm. So some of it is just no one wants to work on removing it. And I had one person tell me, well, if we waive some things for you, everyone will want it. And I'm like, grow some, you know, that's a ridiculous statement, you know. So it's one of those things that, you know, I know what it's like to butt heads with government, and I know how, but there are things like other counties have done this in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I want to figure out how they've done it, get some information, and say, look, these guys did it, and these guys did it, and these guys did it. Why can't we? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be there. We want to be the dog park builders. We want to build dog parks, more of them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's where we're at there. I think through partnerships and education, I think we can pull this off. We're going to need a ton of volunteers, but that comes with members. Mm-hmm. So once we get rolling on this, I'll give a presentation to you guys again. Here's our battle plan, mm-hmm. and then we're going to start a media blitz. Luckily, lots of people like Joe English, Stephanie Strickland, I could name half of the news crew in Portland use our dog parks. Mm-hmm. So
that's helpful.
Yeah. Very helpful. But I want to make sure we have a united message that goes out there.
Do you have like options for something like a GoFundMe page for things like
We'll do all sorts of things, okay. But we're getting a new website ready to roll. I mean, it's just amazing the things you have to juggle to pull this off with a crew that's all volunteer.
Yeah.
And we all have jobs we're trying to do.
We're actually recruiting some good writers and creative people for those types of fundraising.
So here's one more that shows the entire Hermes complex.
And then you can get it publicized, and you can get funding from outside the county.
So anyway, I appreciate the time. I appreciate what you guys do. And hopefully the next time I talk to you guys will be, Jabba, who are you calling? And
where is the signage when you go into the park? Dakota, example. Yeah. Our neighbors take their dogs up there. When I asked them if they were members, they said they didn't know anything about it.
Right. So we're getting ready to put billboards and stuff all the way around, but the wording has to be really...
It's been on the gates, and it's always on the kiosks, but we know nobody reads the kiosks. And usually when you're going into the park, your dog's crazy wild. You know, people don't really exercise them first as they should. They go there to exercise. The dog's running in. It's going to go potty somewhere, so people are grabbing bags. They don't really stop and read the signs. We've even talked about a campaign of, like, the old...
I want to put kiosks all the way around so as you walk. I want to have an app so you can track how many miles you go and whoever does the most dog park miles. You know,
right.
You can do a million things, but right now it's just not believed to death before you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Oh, I said if you ever need more volunteers, you could always call Union. And we have a lot of students that go there that want to be vets.
Oh, Union High School?
Yeah, that would love to volunteer
perfect.
For that. Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, and here's the problem when Stevenson shuts down, Dakota, which is already overdone, is going to turn into a... And we're losing half the parking because of the softball fields. Mm. They put in all those softball fields, so it's just going to be a war zone.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get people to go to Hawkinson. Yeah. But I don't want to have to walk 100 yards to the dog park.
Exercise.
So anyway, thanks for putting up with Brown Dog.
All right. Thank you very much.
He's just in that convertible. I'll go shopping. He sits there, but, you know, of course, this.
He made a bum ass chin or something.
As long as you didn't damage the truck. Yeah. Come on, guys.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, sorry, you guys.
I hope you didn't break your car when you were getting out.
Yeah. So we get back to Carol, yeah. Please.
Okay, so we move back to cats, from dogs to cats.
Thank you so much for having us, guys.
Oh, well, thank you for coming.
Of course.
We'll go on for
very
a lot longer. Lisa, I had one question. If someone brings a neighborhood feral cat in, mm-hmm. to get neutered or vaccinated, mm-hmm. can they then pick up that cat and take it back to the neighborhood?
Sure.
Okay.
If they ask us to do that, yeah. We have a public spay-neuter program, so they it wouldn't come through the shelter necessarily. It would go through the spay-neuter clinic.
And do you know what that costs?
$10.
Thank you. I will relay the information.
And that does not put you in a position of being told that you're abandoning a
cat. Correct. Exactly. Right. So that's a totally different service that,
right.
you know, yes. somebody is doing.
And but that is for income-limited people, too, right?
It's for low-income. Yes, that's a good point. It's for people who qualify as low-income. Either because they're on some sort of government assistance program or because they meet income qualifications.
Mm-hmm. So if they don't, they would have to...
Feral Cat Coalition, they could get services through the Feral Cat
Feral
Coalition
Cat.
Board.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or they... actually, yeah, any of the... I was going to say, you could call the spay and save number, but I think even in Oregon, they have to be qualified as low income.
Now, where would they go if they just needed the cat vaccinated for rabies?
Good Neighbor Vet has a lot of vaccine clinics, or
any
veterinary clinic will do a rabies vaccination.
Yeah, but they do have to do an exam.
Yeah, Good Neighbor Vet is probably the most cost-effective.
Okay.
They do mobile clinics.
What if somebody brings a feral cat in, a community cat, and just drops it off?
Into the shelter?
Into the shelter. Mm-hmm. Who's going to pay for the spay and how is it going to get back to the community?
Right. So that's why this is part of a program in conjunction with animal control. So as part of the program, we will charge a lower fee to the county and city for that particular cat. So right now, the fee is $215 to the county. If it came in as a feral or community cat, because we don't have to put in the time to put it up for adoption and all of that kind of thing, we will charge, let's say it's $150, I think is the price that we're looking for right now. We'll charge the county $150 for that cat, and we will do the spay neuter, and we will find volunteers or some sort of, you know, group that will return the cat back to where it was found. So
if a cat comes in from a community person, I thought the only time the county paid you was when animal control brings the cat.
Oh, no.
Oh, they don't?
Nope. If anytime a citizen
says
it's a stray cat, this is a cat that they found, it's considered a stray, so regardless of whether an officer brings it or a citizen brings it.
Okay.
Same thing with cats and dogs.
We know a lot of people lie about that, but
what?
There's still plenty that come in.
Yeah.
I keep picking dogs up off the street and taking them in. This is stray for you.
Well, if it comes a stray, when they see the surrender cost.
Yeah.
You know, tell them they're super well fed, that maybe
You know, the admissions crew are pretty good about kind of identifying, you know, when people say, oh, it's a stray, and I don't know anything about it, but he likes this kind of cat food, and his name's Buddy, and, you know, all that kind of. So they're pretty good about kind of catching on to those things. Does that happen? Sure, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's one that we're pretty good about. And then the microchip traces back to them. So, that's always a fun one.
Talking your way out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But those end up, we end up changing it to a surrender, because then the cat or dog doesn't have to sit for the stranglehold time, you know. So then we can, because we'll call them and we'll say, hey, we know this is your cat. If you give it, if you, you know, sign a surrender form or give us a owner surrender over the phone, then we can process it faster and your dog or cat can go up for adoption. So generally those conversations end well.
So this is going up for code.
Right. So November 21st, we have a work session with the city. We're working on getting a work session with the county soon after that. And we will start that process of making these recommendations. I'm sure we'll have to meet with, you know, the attorneys and their, you know, all that other stuff. And we'll kind of go from there. So this is a very, I want to call it low key. We don't, you know, this is not expected to impact a huge amount of cats, but what it does is give us an option. When we don't have an option right now for cats that currently come in that otherwise appear healthy, but their only problem is that they're feral. that this gives us an option to provide a live outcome versus euthanasia. So.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Does the program include feline leukemia FIV tests following when they get knocked out?
We're still working on that, potentially. Depends on a number of different factors, but let's not even get into feline leukemia at this point.
Yeah. Doesn't really matter if they're feral, they're going to live a year or two anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That takes care of it, so unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Budgets? If we already pretty well covered that. Marketing.
Okay. So, a few meetings back, we talked about different ways that we could do some outreach, and Lynn came up with the kind of a mock-up of an item that we could place inside veterinarians' shops, and then this became what you all saw in an email that I sent to you, where we bought the acrylic stands, which then allows a not ever rotating, but a potentially rotating message to be placed inside the acrylic stand. And I gave them all away, and I think that you all...
She's got one right here. She can.
Oh, all right. I don't have any left. I'm more than willing to buy more.
You're not going
to buy more. I'm more than willing to buy more. Okay. And then the idea would be that, as you know, we have boxes and boxes of these items. I'm trying to drive people to the internet rather than burdening the veterinarian shop or the dog groomer or whomever with doing the transaction. You just push them out to the internet and they do it on their own. So I'll let the ladies talk about how that distribution went.
Okay. So when we got those, what we did was sat down and basically you'd had like five different backgrounds, and so we just kind of put them all in piles of five, one of each background, stuck them all in the back of that thing so that they could be rotated out, and distributed. We came up with a list of veterinarians, everybody in the area that's served by Clark County, and kind of divvied them up by location, and we each went to different ones to drop them off and to encourage the receptionists, usually the only ones we got to talk to put them out there and encourage people and drive people to that, and to try and encourage them to their clients to license their pets. And I talked a little bit about some of the benefits and stuff. So Lynn did half of them, I did half of them, and I have to confess I forgot the last two, so they're going to get done tomorrow or this weekend. but I think it worked out really well. I'm down to, once these last two are done, I'll only have two of these things left. So you said you had a few spares.
Yes,
So I'll take them from you because, like, my doggy daycare would be a place to drop them. There's quite a few other places, so I've just been driving around with them in my car. And whenever I think of a good spot to take them into, I just take them in.
So we did design them such that when the last one is taken, that the message is still there, but it also lets then the receptionist or whomever's supposed to be monitoring these things to also know to call us, and we will come by the next day with more.
And there were quite a few clinics that had those kind of stashed way behind the receptionist desk and stuff. So they had plenty of refills to start out with, but it really made a difference just parking it out there. And it's amazing how much space most of them still have available.
How was it received? I mean,
pretty well. You know, and half the people that I went to see I already knew, you know,
right.
So or if I introduced myself, they knew of me. And so I think it'll work out reasonably well, but, you know, getting people to comply with things, especially when it involves money, you know how that goes. But I think if we keep pushing, one of the things that I emphasize to the receptionist is we really desperately need more animal control officers, and we've got to raise the funds, and I emphasize that all the funds that come from this go straight to animal control, not through county necessarily. So they seem to be pretty receptive to that idea as well.
The other thing we did was, on the back of this stand, I ran off where to purchase a cat or dog license for people that don't have a computer.
Mm-hmm. The list of the vendors.
And so we told them that. So, I only had two of the resource guides, which I think, Pat, did you make this up? Which tells who to call if you have a problem. Cat, horse, wildlife, dog resources, where to purchase a cat or dog license. I only had two to give out, and when I did, the receptionists in both those clinics were thrilled to get this. They said, we get questions like this all the time, and we never know where to tell people to call, and we always say call animal control. And this has telephone numbers in it, web addresses. It's really fantastic.
Now, is that one of your official pronouncers? Is that something that we did here?
Yeah.
I made it.
Pat made
it. Can you
this.
Email me? Email
it. I can email you the PDF copy and then.
Yeah, and now you just print a bunch of them out.
All stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to probably end up needing more.
The other thing we have are a list of. We went to 32 veterinary hospitals, and we have a list of 22 kennels in town. So if anybody'd like to distribute some things to kennels.
Well,
even the resource guide would be good.
I would, could I? Yeah. As yeah. I was going to
say. Yeah, but some of the kennels, because some of them will be in battleground.
No.
One of
okay.
Totally managed it.
I only have this one copy. I'm not sure where I got that.
That looks like one of mine.
And Paul ran off these.
Nice.
So I'm going to keep these in my car, and as I go around town, I'm going
to
give those out.
Right, so that's now.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you have some
you're
more of the stands, where did you get the checks? I could just pick them up.
The interweb.
The interweb. I'll let you order those from the interwebs because you already found the place.
Yeah.
And then I'll take them around to the groom shops.
And the other thing that you did, where's that? That thing that you just asked, the research guy?
Yeah. Going.
Okay.
He's
well,
got a bunch.
The other thing that I forgot to mention.
You spent lots of time with us.
When we sent these out, we made copies just of this that has all the licensees agents, and we stuck it up underneath here. So when people say, oh, I don't have internet, I can't do things online, they say, well, you can go to blah, 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 wherever you buy, just by looking at the back of that, too.
Nice.
So
yeah. Excellent.
It worked out pretty well.
So high tech.
I know, right?
Sometimes low tech is best. Mm. Excellent.
Very
especially
nice. Well, you know, most people do have internet, even when they don't want to. Sometimes they don't want to admit.
Oh, they
think
they're coming because they know that they can do it online, but
they don't want to give money online.
Yeah, people don't want to give money online.
So, and I think you all noted as well that the five options that were given, they each had a little bit different feel to them. Some were somewhat playful. This one is a little bit more of the heart pulling one, which is great. I mean, maybe that's what you want. So ultimately, it's up to the veterinarian shot to decide on do they want to rotate through them just so that there's a constant change, or they happen to know that this is their customer, or the one that had the little dog with a pink tutu, you know, maybe that's their customer, and that plays to whatever they know their clientele to be. What is missing, though, is the message to the cat owners. Mm-hmm. So we do need to work on that, mm-hmm. Which will be another reason for us, my crew, to go visit the veterinarian shops, be somewhat a regular presence in there. Mm-hmm. We're helping them, and they help us, so to speak, but always have resources available to them and being willing to give them the resources they need to help us. Mm-hmm.
This is the one I put in the feline clinic. I added
that.
Look at that. I could not get the feline clinic a dog only poster. I would never be able to walk in there again. The other thing I have is a licensing agent and also the website that could be put in grocery stores. You know, they have bulletin boards.
Uh-huh. Nice. Yeah.
So, because when Kat and I were at the farmer's market, we had an awful lot of people that didn't know a thing about licensing.
Yeah. They just know it's required. It's okay. I've got a tag or their microchip. No, it's not okay. You have a driver's license. That's what it takes. You may have a car.
But, you know, every state is different, though. Yeah. You know, they say, I came from, Keokuk, Iowa, and we did it this way. And
they're not in Kansas anymore.
But what we found, it was when we worked together, it was the Recycled Arts Festival, not the market. And it was a completely, I've worked at the market lots, but we've only had that one Recycled Arts Festival. It was a completely different group of people.
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, everybody at the market, at least half of them, I think, come from Portland. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and they're just a different group of people. The people that came to the Recycled Arts Festival weren't so much from Portland, and they seemed to be more concerned with their animals, actually, than the people at the market. They asked more questions. They were more interested. Mm-hmm. It was just, I was surprised it was so different.
So today was kind of a peer-to-peer appreciation day at the county. They always have it right before Halloween, and you can either give a fruit roll-up, a carnation, or some sort of a Hershey candy bar product. And so I sent one to Karen, I can't remember her name, but the gal that headed up the Recycled Arts Fair, because I thought we had a very good good location.
Oh, we did.
And they allowed us to bring in the monster trailer and set it all up. And so I, grease the skids, for the people that make things nice.
You can do it again next time.
Nice.
So you could consider giving these to some of the real property management companies and stuff too, for condos and apartments and stuff, because so many of them have pets now.
Yeah.
They'll allow at least one or two and stuff.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Just flooding them.
Yeah, I've taken them to all my condo people.
It helps them, too, because then they'd rather have altered animals, which is that absolutely, because of the difference.
So, where did it go? You might be familiar with this product that we've had out for years and years, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Where you open it up and tear off this portion to send it in. Mm-hmm. So I thought I shared this with you. We redid it to a different marketplace, to the property management companies, where it says something about, are you a rental? I don't remember what it says, but the inside is basically the same, mm-hmm. but what grabs you is something different. But that's a good idea. We have been... I have a different animal control officer that's been kind of one of his as he has time sort of things. He's been working with the larger apartment complexes. They're typically better run. They typically have stricter rules, and they are interested in what their clients are bringing in the door. They want to know. So they are very willing to work with us on getting animals licensed so that we can get some revenue and they can have a better understanding of who their clientele are.
And I wonder, too, how much the high school students that they're just talking about,
in the magnet program would be interested in doing some of that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be learned from going out about.
Well, like I say, a lot of the management companies service more than one or two departments
and stuff like that.
So,
what if we could get one of the major flea control distributors to provide a free flea control with every licensed pet that shows up with a license at some of these big complexes and stuff? Be great marketing for them. Mm-hmm. You know, the oral ones are prescription only, so you can't do that, but you can do the topicals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the topicals are having a little trouble competing with the orals these days. Mm-hmm. So maybe the...
Yeah.
Who makes front line? Is it Mariel?
Mariel.
I don't have any connections. So.
Merck, I think, owns Mariel. Maybe not.
I think they're separate, but I don't know for sure. But Mariel's the main company that distributes it, so they might be ones to talk to about something like that.
Well, thank you, ladies, for your stepping
amazing.
Up and doing
that. I think
that
deserves a little. And Pat, for your
yes.
Do you have any more dishes?
I will gladly send that electronically to all of you.
Okay.
All right, so shelter updates. So just statistics-wise, a quick rundown of where we're at so far this year. Our intake is up for dogs and down slightly for cats at this point. But stray intake is down slightly. Dog intake is increased primarily because of transport. So we've been bringing in dogs from outside of the area. And that's really what's driving the intake numbers at this point. Cat intake has been relatively steady. It's down slightly, but not by a major significant factor. Adoptions are kind of out of control. They just keep getting adopted, and so we are going to end the year well over 5,000 adoptions.
Yay.
This year. Mm-hmm. So last year, last year we ended at 4,400 adoptions, and that was an increase over 4,200 the year before. And
awesome.
Yeah, and this year we'll be well over 5,000, potentially 5,200 is my estimate if we continue on at the rate we've been going. And it's just, and if we can keep dogs coming into the shelter for adoption, then we will meet 5,200 animals.
Sure, there's plenty of places in California I'd be happy to support.
Yeah.
The increase in numbers is because you're bringing the dogs from out of state, right?
Correct.
Yes. And they're excellent dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been quite impressed with the dogs that have come through our shop. They may not know much. Mm-hmm. But even the ones that clearly were just stuffed in a kennel someplace and matted feces caked dogs are sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're temperament tested before they're sent out.
Yeah,
here,
yeah.
So.
And kudos, too, for grooming the dogs. We picked up the dog a couple weeks ago, took him in the morning, picked it up, had back at the shelter at 1, adopted that afternoon.
Yeah.
Really?
It was probably the one that I should have.
Yeah.
Because when they come out, they're just adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, they were shaggy.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Shaggy is a dream.
You know, average length of stay on the adoption floor for a dog is less than 3 days at this point.
Wow.
That's impressive.
I know.
Is that all breeds or just
all
the dogs?
Everything.
Wow.
Everything.
Are you bringing in small as well as big, all different size dogs? So.
We are, yes. Primarily small. It's probably 70% small. We try to bring in big ones, but you can bring in 5 small dogs for every one big, so it's hard.
Right.
They try and coordinate it so that there's a mix, but and we, you know, we'll take pretty much everything as long as it's healthy at this point. So, it's been an interesting couple of years. It's great, and I think everything's been going really well, but it's just I wonder sometimes where are things going to start, evening off?
When the next economic crash happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's supposed to happen next year.
But most of my clients that have one dog and it passes away, they go out and get 2.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. And almost always rescues.
Yeah.
We have some people that still get puppies, but they usually train fine.
But a lot of the dog trainers are puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're bringing in a lot of puppies, and I think we have four or five puppies available.
Don't you have people like camping out your front door if the word gets out there's puppies?
5 a.m. They look, they check our website, and they start lining up outside the front door at 5 o'clock in the morning.
For puppies. That's amazing.
For a mixed breed puppy.
Wow.
You know.
People still want puppies.
Safe Haven? Safe Haven is our program for people who are in housing crisis. So either domestic violence, they're fleeing a domestic violence situation, or sometimes it's that they're getting medical treatment and they don't have a place for their pet to go. So we'll house their pet. Usually it's 30 days or so, depending on the situation. So that's Safe Haven. It's just sort of a temporary holding for people in crisis. So overall, because of all of the adoptions and other programs that we've been doing, our live release rate is holding very steady at about 92% combined. We're at like 96.7% for dogs, which is kind of crazy. And even our cat live release rate has increased pretty significantly this year. So, and even our average length of stay is going down. I mean, everything is kind of rolling really, really well right now. We'll hopefully, you know, maintain that for the next couple of years as we kind of see how these trends continue to play out. So,
it's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Okay, now
with a full
update.
So, on my copy, it's the first page back is September. Mm-hmm. And rolling through the statistics, if you go down to the bottom third of the page, responses combined city, county, I don't know that I see anything really concerning in there. Of course, there are some jumps. Thankfully down for domestic cruelty and livestock cruelty. Dangerous dogs is up, but you know, we went from 2 to 3.
That's a 30% increase.
Well, but you know, that's
50% increase.
Three is great. That's really good. The only other one, wildlife, but again, you know, up 88%, but you went from 8 to 15, which there does appear to be some seasonality to the coyote calls that I get, and coyotes are considered property of the state of Washington, so technically my crew would have to have a special licensure through the state of Washington to go out and trap them. We really don't want to. And given that they are not on any sort of a endangered species list, they're not allowed to be transported and rehomed somewhere. They have to be euthanized. So that is something that I'm quite forthright with people that call me on the phone, and sometimes that gets them to figure out a different way. And we've gotten better over the years with putting on our website means by which you can live
in
harmony, thank you, with Mother Nature. Things that you can do with bird feeders and getting your apples off the ground and talking to your neighbors about their cat food out on the back porch and that sort of thing. There's a gentleman who's a board member of the Humane Society who lives out at Royal Oaks, and he and I chat at least once a year. And every time I reminded, well, you understand, Chuck, that this then means that I've got to take the animal and euthanize it. I just can't do that. So earlier this week, though, I got a different reporting party from out there as well. And there's supposedly like a pack of four or five of them that are pretty aggressive, pretty fearless. It's got the community a little bit fearful of them. And
it's kind of like right in the middle of
it's,
a lot of
just pull out a rifle and blow them away.
If you look at an aerial map, they are bordered by 4th Lane, which is a four lane major arterial, the I-205 southbound on-ramp, and then I-205. So literally from their northwesterly edge all the way around to the far southeasterly edge, that there's no way out. Mm-hmm. But if you look at a color photograph, there's a lot of green space. Yeah. And I'm not talking about just the golf course.
Right.
No. But then there's all these homes with nice, yummy little cats and cat food. And well, that's the complaint that was, we're seeing a real uptick in these things and they're not showing any fear. Mm-hmm. Every time that I go to a conference, I always sign up for that class that is wildlife. And I believe the statistic is something like the only time ever I shouldn't say this century because we're in a new century, but the last incident that happened was in 1974, and it was somebody did something really, really stupid nationally. So statistically, they're really not a threat to humans. Yes, they will take down squirrels, they will take down rabbits, they will take down dogs, they will take down cats. Have they ever gone after a little kid? No. Should we still be cautious about that? Absolutely, because I don't want to be that statistic. Mm-hmm. But I struggle with spending money, that is hard to come by, but I also struggle with us interfering with that natural process. So we do have a contract with the United States Department of Agriculture, their APHIS division, and there's one guy who we've worked with for years and years who's kind of their local licensed trapper, and he does a great job, and he's very honest. I didn't catch any, but I went out 7 days in a row every day, because it's not a cage, it's a trap, a light hole. So they have to be very careful about where they place them, because
that doesn't.
Well, humans, all of a sudden, what the bloody H is that? How dare you, sort of thing. So this Royal Oaks Golf Course thing is really a conundrum, because they're not hiding out on a private person's parcel. They're hiding out on the golf course, and there's no way they're going to let me put a trap out there.
Right.
Or they're off in the hinterlands of. There's a green space that the city owns that has one trail through it to the northeast that literally abuts that I-205. And then to the south, there's this corridor. It's a park. I think it's called North Park. And literally, I think it's just there because of flooding. There's a lot of water out in that area. I don't think that there's any amenities there, so it's kind of hard to access. But then that abuts a power line easement that runs across the county, probably from Ross, that is quite broad. And yes, Bonneville comes out and takes care of it occasionally, but I routinely have problems along that corridor because the coyotes can just
they go up and down it,
right? Have a heyday.
Right. Up and down
through my neighborhood. I had a lengthy conversation with this gentleman, and he had done all of his research. He had gone out to our website. He'd watched videos online. He had done far more research than most people. Just, my God, get that horrible creature out of here. And so he was sympathetic, but he's like, this has just reached a point where, they've got us fearful, and that's not appropriate. I explained to him, look, we can come in, they'll probably have pretty good success at getting them out of there, but my guess is within a year or two, they'll be back. The pickings are just too good. So I was out on a walk today for a break. Sometimes I have to get away from the insaneness that pours out from my phone. And was thinking about, okay, maybe this is an opportunity for me to reach out to the media and either get a news story or a newspaper article where they go out and they are there with the trapper and they, take some pictures or whatever, what is supposedly going to go down. I don't think that we want to have pictures of what actually does go down, but give people a sense of what is going on out there and then relay to them. The whole point of the article is how to live more in tune with wildlife and what you can do to, in a sense, make them go somewhere else.
Shoot them.
Well, that's.
Well, they are very sensitive to marking, and if you have a private enough place that you can encourage some male member of your family to help with that, it does help.
You don't have to encourage us. You encourage. Do it because we do it.
Is there any other methods
like that. I mean, I know that you can buy cougar urine
right.
and spray it around and things like that, but it would be good to be educated about some of those options.
Just
at least not on my porch, because I used to have them come to the bottom of my porch and sit there and stare at me, and I'd yell at them, and they'd go, what? Yeah. And like, we're going to play. But no, I don't want to play with you. I want you to go a little further away.
Shotguns loaded with rock salt are a really good deterrent, I think.
So that's an old one. When I grew up here locally, I had quite a few friends that lived at Royal Oaks. Their families had houses there, but it's turned into a similar community as the same neighborhood where I grew up on the Heights. There's no kids anymore. It's all older people. They have dogs. They have cats. They go for a walk. So they're not on their property necessarily when they come across these packs that are roaming the hood. So it's just an interesting problem I'm trying to get my head around financially. You know, at some point, maybe I just need to say that's not a service we provide any longer. Here's a phone number you can call.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that segues nicely into our story of the day of the dog that was found was that possibly a wildlife attack?
It was.
I think it had to have been a bobcat or a beagle.
It was. The necropsy came back. The animal was killed by another animal.
Okay.
The dog. The question was how it got skinned. They don't know, but the death was caused by another animal.
Yeah, because they said it was very precise, and so clearly it was not skinned by the animal.
Kind of dog.
Well, I think they said it was possible.
It was unlikely.
So the again, the interweb will have all your answers. And so, you know, maybe, you know, a similar incident occurred in Yugoslavia in 1972, and the same sociopath is now in.
But I have people asking so much about that, because there's word there's some sociopath out there going to kill their dog, and it's like. Seems much more likely that it was a wildlife attack.
Let a little dog out for 3 hours unsupervised on rural property.
Well, why did you do that to start with? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it's somebody else's fault her dog died.
Yeah.
It probably got skinned. Probably got pulled up against the fence and the coyote had to hold the skin and the dog wasn't getting
through
the fence.
And I had that happen in my yard to my dog, a coyote on the other side of the fence. Yeah. Pulled him through the fence. All the boards came off the fence.
This little guy was already dead, and he didn't go through the
fence. Very much like something else happened.
Cole, what's the thinking behind not being able to trap and relocate them? Because I'm sure the public doesn't understand that.
It's nothing to do with the county. It's the state. It's state law. Because they are basically a nuisance. So you introduce them into a new environment, and now they cause problems for the coyotes that are already there, or whatever is going on.
It's sort of be like trapping rats and moving them to your neighbor's.
Do you want to pipe in?
Yeah, I could speak to this.
Sure.
So if you take an animal, a coyote, that's here, and you relocate it somewhere else, you're introducing disease into that area that it may not already be there, so you can be moving it from one population to another. Mm. Coyotes are really have a problem with mange, and so you don't want to be moving that around too much either. But also, it's just you're just killing the animal. You are. It's inhumane and it's cruel. If you take a raccoon and you drive it 10 miles out in the country thinking you're doing it some favor, you're not. You're killing it. You're just not having to own that. So, Department of Fish and Wildlife does consider that to be an inhumane way to dispose of a problem. And also, you're giving it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, because
they do relocate some animals.
No. You cannot take an adult coyote. It's the pack.
You mean other species?
You can't take a raccoon. Because nature abhors a vacuum. I mean, when you look at, like, your golf course situation, you go in, you remove those coyotes. A vacuum now exists. There's food, there's housing. They are going to come right back. You will make a career out of relocating coyotes or killing them. It will make no difference whatsoever.
But there are some transport, like the white-tailed deer from Klatskanai.
Some species of animals,
they need to be transported because they're going to get killed where they are, and so they do
Even then, I mean, most
places that can support a species of wildlife are supporting those animals. Sometimes
species.
They'll go in and they'll make room for them. Like, let's say you want the barred owl or the spotted owl to survive somewhere. You go in and get rid of all the barred owls that are living there. Now there's a place for them. There's things that you can do. But most of these things are just to make us as people feel better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're not doing wildlife any favor whatsoever by relocating it.
Well, now we don't feel better, thank you. I was feeling good.
The truth is that we don't live in Disneyland, and your cats and dogs will be subject to the same pressures of nature, and coyotes do live among us, and if you don't watch your cat or your dog, a coyote will eat it.
That's right.
You shouldn't be letting your cat run out.
Even during the day, I've had coyotes run up
people
and down
the
day.
There are raccoons and coyotes. I mean, they're here right now, right in this neighborhood.
They eat my fish.
They do. Well, they're hungry.
I know. Well, they wait for. But it's irritating because they wait for the fish to get really big.
Easier to catch.
Yeah.
You're
helping
them. You're getting
them all. Sure, it's not
my
herring.
Good, thank
you.
Yeah. I don't think the animal control should be in the business of relocating healthy wildlife. I think animal control should be helping people who say, you know, a car just hit this possum that's now limping across my yard or something, you know.
Yeah.
Right. People are really, that touches us so much to see an animal suffering. Mm-hmm. But, that's
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a recurring issue out in the Cougar Peak area, which is just west of the Target in Hazeldale. Mm-hmm. And there's a particular property owner who lives on this green belt that has Cougar Creek that runs through it. She was the impetus of us becoming contracted with the USDA actually just before my time, so about 8 years ago. And every year she has me send out a guy. This year it wasn't coyotes, it was raccoons. And I kind of almost stop trying to communicate with her because she's just not getting it. We're not ever going to solve this.
Give her my number because when I sell her on all the rats that are going to move in and all the
that's really true.
You don't
that's
see right. the raccoon as much as you'll see the animals that it was living off of.
So just to sort of wrap up the Mr. Magoo story. The media was in quite a frenzy. The story actually made it onto Good Morning America.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and the sheriff was interviewed Tuesday on KXL Radio in Portland on a budget issue because it's announced the general fund problems are affecting everybody, including the sheriff. He's got the largest program, so obviously he takes the largest cut. What's going to be cut? Oh, and by the way, what's going on with Mr. Magoo?
Which
he had a great answer is we're awaiting the necropsy report, which was true at that time. Mm-hmm. So things like this happen, thankfully not very often. We will clearly use it as a learning experience for field staff, myself, PIO, everybody. We could have handled it better, but we've never handled anything like this.
No,
so we're still doing this right now. We're kind of like there's not a CSI way that you can resolve this, and yet you really can't get your head around what actually happened. There's just no reasonable unless there's a sociopathic individual that just happened to be at the right place at the right time, which is preposterous.
Dead animals.
But people want there is, to believe there is they're such not. A, they do. They there want is, to believe that there's something yeah. like that. So
correct.
They have something to,
so then they go to 1970. So then they go to 1974, Yugoslavia. That's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
well, because
yeah.
they don't want to take responsibility for their neglect and letting exactly. their animal run loose.
So, in defense of the Mr. Magoo's owner, it's a beautiful piece of property. It's completely fenced in. She's had the dog for 10 years, it and another dog. This is their daily routine. Mm-hmm. And where her house rests on the property, if she were to be there watching, she could see them at all times. But she's been doing this for years and years without any problems. She whistles for the dogs. They come running back, and the day goes on. So it was nothing new, nothing mm-hmm. abnormal. Mm-hmm. There were two coyotes sighted in the area that morning. There was also a suspicious white truck, which then caused,
famous white truck, right?
It's always a white truck.
There's tons of white trucks out there. When I drove to Idaho, I got passed by white trucks.
And there is such a thing as degloving, if two animals get a hold of one animal, then that just... The part that the necropsy was not able to definitively tell us one way or the other was the edge at which the fur met the what was not fur. It did appear to be what they call a
clean cut,
sharp implement was the word used.
Tooth is a sharp implement,
especially these, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. They're pretty sharp.
Anyway,
I haven't heard anything on the news at all about what they found out. It was like all this hysteria, all of a sudden nothing.
It was in the Columbia. Just late this afternoon.
Oh, I haven't had a chance to read today.
And it refers to a shark. Columbia. It's how the same ones are named.
So the reason that it died down is because we shut off the faucet. Mm-hmm. We stopped talking. Mm-hmm. The sheriff decided that if in fact it was a human that killed the animal, then it's a criminal case and they would take it. Mm-hmm. So now we're left with, well, did the dog die due to wildlife issues prior to the skinning? If so, then it's not a criminal case. It's something else. Very unfortunate. The family is deeply traumatized. I spent quite a bit of time at their home, and it's perplexing, very very perplexing and sad.
On a positive note, Corvallis is a nice drive. I've never been there, and it was a nice peaceful drive. And
Rick and I drove the body down to the Oregon State University Pathology School of Pathology, and they did a great service for us there.
Well, I had several coyote attacks on my dogs, and I'm so careful, and I'm not careful enough. You know, it just happens.
Right.
All right, so do we want to do a quick round table? You have anything for us, Pat?
No, nothing's pertaining.
Jackie? Cindy?
I have nothing.
Nope.
Hope I see y'all again. If I do, I'd have to talk for another year. I'll bring the donuts and go.
No, except if you want somebody to take stuff out to the groomers, I can help with that.
Great. Love it. Yeah, really excited. Stephanie, who never made it tonight, said there are only 8 horses in foster care program right now, down significantly from last night's meeting. 8 horses were adopted last month to excellent homes.
Yay.
Wow. So things are looking good.
You need to have some. If the dogs and cats are going out the door so fast, we need to get you to have some. Some.
Yes,
I'm serious.
Put up the pictures. You don't have the horses there. Just put it
right. No, that's right. Yeah.
I do have one thing. My round table thing is that designer dog is moving. I haven't yet to sign the lease, so I haven't contacted the county about permitting and all that kind of stuff, and it'll be a little while, repainting. But we're going to the old vet clinic right next, between the
two. Oh, you're close to the home.
Yeah.
Where?
The corner of
Hazel Bell
Avenue and 99. The old vet clinic.
in the corner by the Dollar Tree and the ship shop. Okay.
But you're still moving. You're still moving?
Yeah. But I'll be moving ultimately. Whenever it's all settled. But my daughter and my groomer that's been with me the longest are taking over the shop and continuing.
Will they be taking on new clients at that point? Will they be taking on new clients at that point?
We'll see. When we get enough people trained up to my standards. I'll be continuing with all the training and supervision.
So you're going to still own it even though you move?
Yeah, they'll earn the ownership of it.
So she technically is going to retire.
It is.
Have you
it
sold your house?
It's about 2,000 square feet.
Oh, what do we have now?
Are you giving now?
You can have a lot more bloomers then.
Yeah, but you know, more bloomers than necessarily our goal. We're so picky about how everything gets handled that we either train them ourselves or find that miracle person out. So we're going to be training them ourselves. It's a little
slow. Has your health served yet? Has your house sold?
No.
Okay. So you don't actually get to leave the area until your house sells, right?
No.
Okay.
And my mom's 91. I'll be around.
I was asked to give an update on a dog situation that we've been dealing with. You may have heard of the situation with the dog named Hunter that we dealt with a while ago. The dog, Hunter, is actually in our care at this point.
Again?
Really?
Yeah.
Still or again? Again.
What's the deal?
So,
just let her finish.
He's had several occurrences of running at large since he was returned back beginning of September. And so he was brought to the shelter as a stray about 2 weeks ago. And subsequently was not redeemed.
Oh, jeez.
So
Was the guy contacted?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So he just doesn't want him back now?
I think he does not believe he needs to pay fees in order to get the dog back.
Or pay for boarding when the dog is not ridden. Right. Yeah, okay.
Why would he what?
Why does he think he wouldn't have to pay fees?
Because he believes that he shouldn't have to do the same thing that other people do.
Over and over again. Because
over
the
over
dog
again.
Keeps
it's not,
not cooperative.
The dog
got out.
Yeah. But he hasn't relinquished.
Well, at this point, he doesn't. He by default, he has lost ownership of the dog.
Does he know that?
Oh, yes. Oh. He knows it very well.
And so is he going to start a new media store?
I don't know.
He would be unwise. He would be unwise to do so. We have an awful lot of information on him.
The people who originally adopted
him,
we struggled with that because, frankly, they don't really want to have anything to do with us at this point. So
they're mad at you.
Yeah, yeah. So we are not comfortable with placing him for adoption through our organization. So we are working with a different organization in another jurisdiction where we'll be transferring Hunter for adoption under a different name and trust that he will have a much better life at that point.
Wow.
So.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Maybe with one of those invisible fences.
Or a real fence.
Or he didn't even have a fence?
Anything. No.
He didn't have a fence? So he's not a fence jumper, he just leaves because he's left outside?
Well, what dog wouldn't?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Half a mile would. But only half.
All right.
My dog is responsible.
So does that include everything that we would like to share that we are in here?